Author's Notes. View of Scripture. Your author has the highest respect for the Bible as a document miraculously given from God to contemporary man. It is not, however, prudent to elevate it to a status, rank, or position belonging to our living Savior as teacher and guide. His promise was to send a comforter who will lead and guide us to all truth. That guide is none other than his own Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Bible is a true and accurate record of men experiencing that self-same guidance. However, the record of this guidance in the lives of others is merely that, a record. A glorious and markedly valuable record indeed, but this record should never replace the personal experience of sitting at the Master's feet. Jesus Christ is alive again from the dead, and fully capable of opening the Scriptures to his followers. We know that God spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. Has he in these last days spoken unto us by ink and pen? No. He's spoken unto us by his Son. So says Hebrews 1:1-2. It is our Father's intention to teach us directly through a living relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. In times past, he used men as prophets. It is mistakenly assumed today that he uses only a book. The verse in Hebrews cited above makes no such assertion, nor does it defend such an idea. From this scripture, it is clear that Jehovah speaks to us by his Son. Discussions on the infallibility of Scripture, contradictions found therein, dubious inspiration of modern Bibles, etc., I'll leave to some other forum. These views are usually traditional, typically personal, frequently inflammatory, and have proven to be useless deliberations that put man no closer to his goal of reconciliation to God. Regrettably, it's also observable that those who enjoy engagement in these disputes are usually the worst violators of their own Bible's clearest doctrines. The Bible is an inestimable gift given of God to lost and lawless mankind. Without it, in our modern sinful and separated condition, living so far from our ancestral family and God, I fear it would be nearly impossible, especially in our short lifetime, to gain such instruction from our Father directly. Even so, to merely learn it or read it is not the same thing as hearing it. Remember, Jesus' words were not, "He who has eyes, let him read," but "He who has ears, let him hear." To mistake one for the other results in deficiency and confusion, harm and loss. For this singular reason, churches, supposedly built upon unambiguous teachings of an infallible Bible, are diverse, contradictory, and dissimilar rivals. Scripture text quotation. All scripture texts, capitalization, punctuation, and spelling within quotes, are copied directly from the King James Version of the Bible and referenced. Ellipses represent text deleted for brevity or clarity. Individual words in a text may be bolded to emphasize its connection to a subject or italicized to bring the reader's attention to a particular word. Words in brackets are inserted to assist definition but do not appear in the text cited. In all such cases, the references are noted if the reader feels confirmation necessary. There's no intention to change the meaning of any passage. The title of each devotional is derived from Scripture, but in some cases is transliterated for clarity. Some questions appear several times throughout the Gospels. These texts are usually combined into one all-inclusive idea, and every attempt is made to faithfully include all the descriptive terms in each Scripture. From that idea, one representative question is used as a title. References for these are given as well. Footnotes. There are undoubtedly some to whom the Bible and other literary references will be well known and obvious. Others will appreciate the footnotes referencing the texts themselves or the location of texts drawn upon. Many references are parenthetically added to the end of the quotation, while others are footnoted so as not to clutter the reading. I hope this arrangement will provide smooth reading for both those familiar with each reference and those inclined to research all of them. Capitalization of terms. Many words in our language are used to portray our indescribable God. When differing descriptions are floating around the reader's head, sentences can become confusing, and sometimes significance and meaning are sacrificed. Even the meaning of Scripture can be lost or misunderstood when improper definitions are attached to words. Capitalizing these words can help clear some of this confusion. Capitalization was considered carefully when writing this document. Care and thought was given to the definition and application of a word when considering whether it should be capitalized. For example, the words way, truth, and life, when capitalized, denote a personage of divinity, Christ in particular. Any word referring to deity will be capitalized. Church, when capitalized, refers to Christ's faithful, gathered, yet invisible body of obedient servants and children of God. When not capitalized, it is intentional. The Quaker, Religious Society of Friends, term for what conventional Christianity calls church is meeting. It is capitalized only to set it apart from the usual understanding of the word. Friend is capitalized for the same reason. The word truth is capitalized when it refers to Christ or the truth of God, the powerful, eternal truth that is revealed supernaturally to the heart of man, also known as the truth of the gospel. It is also the universal yet supernatural understanding of what is right, holy, honest, true, or the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The truth Paul mentions in Romans 1:18-20. The lowercase form of truth is what is accurate, factual, and correct, no matter its consequence or its effect upon righteousness. For example, 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical truth. Spirit is capitalized when referring to the Spirit of God. Whether it be the selfsame Spirit found in Christ during His incarnation or His Spirit found in the heart of a believer. There are spirits foreign to the kingdom of God that most assuredly are not capitalized, but there is a spirit in man as well that, while not deserving denotation of evil, does not attain the level or distinction of divine origin. It is the yearning spirit of man to attain what is good and decent, not the fleshly lust of short-cutting righteousness or desire to gain beyond his design. School spirit, true patriotism, and desire for justice, they're all from the spirit of man. Although these are vestiges of the one who created us, over the sinful eons it has degraded to become an untrustworthy replacement for God's Holy Spirit promised to rejuvenate and restore us. The word prophet is capitalized when referring to Christ, or as part of a particular person's title, or the all-inclusive term prophets, referring to the collection of writings of the prophets of old, reference made merely to the office itself, is lowercase. The word law is capitalized in admiration of its author, origin, permanence, and immutability. Bible is capitalized somewhat because of tradition, but primarily because of my personal respect for our miraculously preserved and wonderful gift from God, purchased and repurchased over the centuries with the blood of his faithful servants. Many personal and other pronouns are capitalized when they refer to deity. Although these rules of capitalization apply to my writing, they cannot be applied to the King James Scripture quoted herein. The King James made no such distinction, and no capitalization changes are made when it is quoted. Denominational sensitivity. None. You will undoubtedly find ideas and views in this writing that are, in varying degrees, difficult for you, no matter which denomination you find most comfortable. My own umbrage for the denominations that hold so many Christians back from a personal communion with Christ could easily be blamed for my lack of consideration for their protests within this writing. Many of the ideas that disquiet denominational Christianity presented in this text were new to me at the time of writing, as most everything here is a record of my personal devotions. Although abrasive and perhaps condemning at times to conventional views of doctrine, no revelation of the Lord Jesus has ever disappointed me. His revelations of the Scriptures have always surprised me and delighted me, sometimes shamed me, and not a few times startled me. The Lord still reveals things to me that startle me at first, then as I look at it from other angles, view other scriptures from my new vantage point, I become amazed that I've not seen it this way all of my life. A revelation is like that. Don't rush. Don't condemn out of hand simply because your denomination's vocabulary is not found here or familiar axioms or cliches of your church are not used. I make no pretense to follow any denominational guidelines, not even of my beloved Society of Friends. I learned years ago to have a mind that is not hemmed in by prejudice, stifled by tradition, fenced by preconception, is to have all knowledge at least within reach. It is a daily fight to keep these encroachers at bay, but it is well worth the struggle. To see something that is so familiar to you, a little differently, because the God of the universe took time to illuminate you, will change you forever. I'm different than when I started this book 4 years ago. I hope you will be too.